You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
It's hard to put these things into words right now, and I see as we are trying to process what has happened in Afghanistan, how many people have tried to respond with some sort of understanding over all this. It's really hard, especially over the last couple of weeks. But what happened yesterday in Kabul and the among 100 dead over this whole situation, this is where, we lose our sense of what to say about it. We'll talk about it today. We've got to make some sense out of it. I'm just really concerned about a couple of things. You know what? Ryan Zinke going to call in here in just a few minutes, and so let's just let that go. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside as we get going on a Friday here. 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. Did make it. We did get here on at least, you know, there's a lot of people that put in the 5 working days. There's many too who get to Friday and go, as I say, oh great, Friday's here. Only 2 more working days this week. I know, we're all working hard. And I appreciate all of you who are doing the hard work and hanging in there with us too on a regular basis. Part of your Montana mornings for 20-plus years. That's Voices of Montana, from Montana for Montana. As I mentioned yesterday, we were talking about Afghanistan and then reported that the initial bombing. There was another bombing as well, suicide bombing. All told right now, we've got about 100 dead, including 13 American military members. And as we have been saying, I don't know how you put it into words. I get concerned and scared about how we're going to feel on September 11th when that comes around, this 20th anniversary. And I think it's going to hit us real hard. This was a political failure that just, as we have said, just didn't have to happen. I'm pleased to welcome Navy SEAL Commander Ryan Zinke to the program, former congressman, cabinet member for President Donald Trump, Secretary of the Interior, and a candidate for Congress here in Montana. And, of course, a veteran who has served. Good morning, Commander. How are you, sir?
Well, it's great to be with you. This is what happens when, rather than showing strength and resolve, you show weakness and retreat. And I'm not sure what has gone right with Afghanistan, but clearly, you know, consolidating in Kabul, small airstrip, not a lot of apron. And the situation is that we're surrounded. We are outgunned, ironically, by the same weapon systems that were made in America. And we're outnumbered. And you look at that, and Kabul, very tight. You know, it's in the middle of a city of about 3.4 million. And most of that population has a direct line of sight into that runway. And it wouldn't take a lot to crater the runway or shoot down an airplane. And then you have thousands of individuals, American citizens, our allies, that are potential hostages. So, you know, it's already been a killing field. It can be a lot worse. But it has been a failure, and I don't think America has any confidence in President Biden or his cabinet. What's disheartening is that you look at it from a military point of view, you know, the decision to go into Kabul, the decision to leave some of our more capable airstrips that American taxpayers built, Kabul, Kandahar, that you can operate with a greater degree of safety. But we don't know how many citizens are. We gave the Taliban a list of where allies are, names, addresses, et cetera, which is now a hunting list for the Taliban. And then to rely on the benevolence, as you point out, of the Taliban, the same people that were dancing in our streets that assisted in 9/11. So we're going to rely on their kindness? This is nuts.
None of this makes sense. And so you have to ask the question, okay, who does this make sense to? It seems like, I don't know if it was just a cascading set of errors or, you know, if there's something else going on here. And I don't know even where to go with that, outside of the fact that we need to go back to, you know, earlier this year and talk logistically, Ryan, Commander Zinke, Navy SEALs with us here today on Voices of Montana. And you guys can, if you got questions, 866-627-5483, because I am stunned here, and really have lost words. 866-627-5483. Or 781-627-5483. Yeah.
It is stunning. You look at it, who's in charge? You know, first of all, you know, I, like you know, millions of Americans, watched President Biden's address. To me, I don't have confidence that he's in charge. And then is it Austin? Is it his cabinet? You know, I know most of the senior military leaders. And I can't believe that they were happy with this plan. I mean, just a few months ago, weeks ago, we had about 2,500 troops in there. It was fairly stable. We hadn't lost anyone for a while. And I agreed up front with withdrawing, but you don't withdraw in the middle of the night. You don't withdraw without a plan. You don't withdraw without knowing where U.S. citizens are. Well, you don't, in multiple levels. And whether they went to Kabul for optics, whether, you know, whose plan was this? So we need to hold people accountable. We also need a leader that is capable of withdrawing our people safely. And, like, you know, we don't have to play ball with the Taliban. We shouldn't, you know, never negotiate and trust terrorists. So we still have a lot of military strength and capability. But I think America is just in shock. And then you look at the domestic policies that have been going on in just a span of a few months. I mean, begging OPEC to produce more oil. And we don't have a southern border. 210,000 people came across our border, and they are mandated to process them within hours and send them someplace in the U.S. You know, tongue-in-cheek, the Afghan refugees, I guess you just send them to Mexicali because they'll just walk across. So, you know, we don't have control of our border. We don't have control of our of Afghanistan and Kabul. We don't have control of inflation. We don't have control of COVID. There's not much that you can say that this administration has done well in. Matter of fact, I think it's been a failure across the board. Now, it's fixable. America's a great country. But we, in my opinion, we got to get the majority back. But having the Republicans in power, I mean, you have to lead. So just simply changing Republican to Democrat, the Republicans also have to lead and show America that we can face these challenges that face America as a nation, but we're going to have to rise as Americans. I don't think you can fix this thing from one side of the aisle. We're going to have to work together as Americans and understand our underlying principles. We fight for freedom. We make sure we honor the Constitution, limited government. The freedoms that are enumerated in our Constitution, they're worth fighting for. And self-determination. The government shouldn't be calling on what we want to be, what we think. And so, you know, Afghanistan, it's serious. And I wish everyone would lower their flags at half-mast. Yeah. Governor Gianforte has authorized that. But let's give our thoughts and our prayers to those in harm's way in Kabul. And let's make hope that we can get our people out.
And that's where I want to go next is because you obviously have a lot of friends in the military. What are they telling you? What emotions? And I don't know if we want to even be overly emotional about it. I think we will be when we get to September 11th. But sum that up for you, Commander,
I recently went to the United States Navy SEAL reunion in Coronado, California. And I can tell you there are a lot of very angry warriors. In short story, there's a small little pub in Coronado. It's called Danny's. And there's a picture of every SEAL that has been killed since 9/11. And there are a lot of pictures. But a lot of angry warriors, a lot of very angry and sad families that have sacrificed so much. And now you're seeing our credibility is at stake. And there are dozens of countries, probably in the order of 60 or 70, that special operations forces are working there today. And there's a saying in special operations where we're going to win the hearts and minds. And we rely on our coalitions, our foreign counterparts. We rely on indigenous personnel for support in their fight for freedom and against terrorism. But when we deliver a message that's so clear that, look, in times of duress, we're not going to be there. We're going to walk away from you. It puts those operations and those operators at greater risk, you know, across the globe. And this is a stain on Americans' honor. And, you know, it's, again, it's fixable. I wouldn't run for the House again if I didn't think it was fixable. But we're going to have to lead, and we're going to have to lead as Americans and show strength and resolve rather than weakness and retreat.
I want to get to it's fixable here in a bit, but joining us now from Helena, and it's 866-627-5483, or text us at 781-627-5483 for Commander Ryan Zinke, Navy SEALs I mentioned, grew up in the Flathead, played some college football. Always talk about that. He's a Oregon Duck, and just a long record of service, 22 years. Bill joins us from our capital city. And Bill, thank you for being here. You're on the air with Ryan.
Good morning, gentlemen. So first, my thoughts and prayers go out to anybody in Afghanistan right now, with your foreign or soldier or somebody, and I'm going to use this word very bluntly, stranded in Afghanistan. We talk about accountability. Yes, our current commander-in-chief, I have a tough time calling him my president, but he is. He's accountable. But what about the State Department, who's turning away people right now? What about the military itself? What, I understand there's a protocol, but at what point do you speak up and say, this is wrong, we can't do this? At what point? And accountability socially to the American people that voted for this. For those of us that didn't, we told them this is a bad idea and this is why. And here we are. Accountability to the media. I watched the news last night for the first time in a very long time, and I watched several channels. They were talking about President Trump and the White House Capitol breach. That's disgusting to me as an American citizen and somebody who cares deeply about this country. There's plenty of accountability going on, but none of it's happening. How do we get to that point?
Good question, Bill.
Well, you know, I've served at the highest levels of the cabinet, and you do serve at the pleasure of the president. But it doesn't mean you're a yes or you're a minion. And you're absolutely right. Accountability is my understanding. The reports I've read is the Department of State took the lead. They overruled the Department of Defense. It was based on numbers and contracting around a airstrip in the middle of 3.4 million people. Or again, line of sight, and you give up the advantage, and that runway is tenuous at best. So, of the cabinet members around, I mean, whose idea was this? And if you're the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or a senior military leader, you know, yes, you salute smartly at the end of the day, but you got to be vocal.
Commander, stand by. We've got a break, and then more with Ryan Zinke when we come on back from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana.
Montana's electric cooperatives, the Missoula Electric Cooperative and the Montana Department of Environmental Quality, will be holding Electrify the Big Sky, a beneficial electrification event on October 19th in Missoula. Attendees will learn how electric vehicles, electric water heaters, and programmable thermostats can save them money, support Montana's energy future, and how the grid must adapt to be ready for this change. Your Montana Electric Cooperatives, they do more than just keep the lights on for you.
There's never been a better time to get your COVID-19 vaccine in Montana. It's free, it's safe, and it works. The COVID-19 vaccine is widely available. so it's easy and convenient. Many pharmacies are taking walk-ins. Text your zip code to Get Vax. That's 438-829 for vaccine locations near you. Or visit covidvaccine.mt.gov to schedule your appointment today. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. Message and data rates may apply.
Afghanistan, the topic today, as it has been over the past couple of days, if not longer than that, as we have reported the bombings yesterday. They have returned to evacuation flights today. No extension of the deadline. Commander Ryan Zinke is with us, a former congressman from the state of Montana, cabinet member for Donald Trump, and also a candidate for Congress. Commander, thank you again for being here, 20-plus years Navy SEAL. And Bill is still with us from KCAP in Helena. Let's finish the talk about accountability, because that would restore some confidence if we could get some answers over, you know, what went wrong and if there was accountability for that.
Well, we need to find a leader that can win. And clearly, this administration, I mean, when you look at, again, inflation and border and COVID and Afghanistan and the list goes on, you're fired comes to mind. And this is why elections mean something. We, the people, the government works for the people, not the other way around. And so, you know, elections have consequences, but, you know, based on performance alone, you're fired. I don't think America likes losing, and certainly to put our citizens, our troops, our allies at risk in such a manner. And this was preventable. That's what America should look at is that we didn't have to be in surrounded in Kabul. That was our choice. And how we our government and the Biden administration executed it.
Yep.
And you know, and what I've seen is a lot of finger pointing here, and I see, you know, Congress, you know, getting into tactics, techniques, and procedures, and talking about strategy. That's why we have a great military as we do. But let the military lead. Let's find a leader that we can back, that Congress can support, and win.
Bill, your follow-up, Bill.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the lives that are lost or about to be lost in horrific ways is the number one priority, and I don't see any plan coming out of this administration to deal with it. There are farther-reaching consequences to the actions and big consequences. I don't know how our allies trust us. We have always been the protector and the hammer of the world. And when are our allies going to hold us accountable for this administration? Debacle.
Appreciate that. 866-627-5483, the number here for Voices of Montana. Ryan, again, kind of want to get your thoughts on our commander-in-chief. As if we're accountable here, ultimately, as voters. But there's calls for impeachment. There's calls for resignation. What is your message to our commander-in-chief?
Well, you know, I would ask America, and I understand the anger, let's focus on the task at hand. Let's focus on getting our people out of Afghanistan safely. Let's focus on giving our military the resources they need. Let's find a leader that can execute a plan in the interest of our citizens. Let's make sure that those individuals coming to the United States are vetted. Let's make sure that we have a southern border. I mean, you know, I live in Whitefish, and you know, you can't get across for Canada. And these are, you know, law-abiding, great citizens that have business interests, homes in Montana, and that border is sealed up. When the southern border, you just walk across, and then you're given a ticket or a plane ride, and you're in the U.S. We don't know where they are. You know, it's just like we don't know where our citizens are in Afghanistan. We don't know where illegal immigrants are in this country.
We've talked about that being unnecessary. Matt Zeller, a veteran, came on a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and had talked about you know, how they had prepared a list, how they had been encouraging and in fact, pretty much begging the administration to get busy on this list that was tens of thousands long, and they had everything there that they needed. Let's go back to the phones. Commander Ryan Zinke, Navy SEAL, retired, is with us here, candidate for Congress as well, 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. It's Casey in Great Falls. Casey, we may have to interrupt the answer with a news break, but thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm trying to make this quick. There's enough of ex-President Trump's plan on withdrawal and the actual plan and implementation of this President Biden. I would like his opinion on the, compare the two plans, critique them. Trump came out with a statement that this, well, I think he said it would not have happened. We don't know, but at least the probably the probability of it happening would have been less, but in my opinion. But also in the plans, the biggest, one of the biggest differences is he, Biden, did away with Bagram, and Trump was not going to do that, at least right away, until the very end, my understanding. So that's my question.
All right. Stand by, Casey. Appreciate that. And I got to take a headline break here. So with Commander Ryan Zinke on board here, 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. The Trump plan. Let's get some comments on that and how it was or was not executed after these headlines from Brian Bennett. Just got some things to sort out as we talk about Afghanistan. Commander Ryan Zinke is with us, Navy SEAL retired, also served in the legislature, the Montana legislature, our Congress as well, Natural Resources Committee, Armed Services Committee in 20 plus years as a Navy SEAL. And again, Ryan, thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. Trump plan versus Biden plan. Was the Trump plan carried out? Was it a good plan? Your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, the Trump plan, we withdrew to about 2,500 people. It was relatively stable, but it relied on situation and terrain, right? You rely on adjusting, on looking at conditions in the ground. What we see here is a plan that was based on a timeline, and it was a blind timeline devoid of any facts in the ground. As Afghanistan began to fall apart, you know, rapidly, right? It was like a deer in the headlights moment. And at that point in time, what airstrip we're going to use? What multiple plans? You look at from a military planning point of view, about contingencies, operations. You know, it's very difficult to operate out of a single airstrip surrounded by 3.4 million people, that your very lifeblood is that airstrip, and you're going to have to haul people, you know, hours away. Our lily pad is 6 to 8 hours away. You know, other airports to control the ground, and the evacuation plan is, hey, good luck, American citizens. Try to make it out of the border. You know, and you're gonna seek hide and shelter in place when you've given the list to the Taliban about where you are, your name, so they can go in and hunt you down.
That is so unbelievable.
It's a failure across the board. And again, who's in charge? Of this? Is it Susan Rice? Is it Austin? Is it Blinken? I mean, they have to be looking the news too. Who's in charge? And what I see is a lot of finger pointing and a lot of political rhetoric, but I don't see an action plan. You know, what I wanted to hear from the president is, hey, these are the decisions we had how to get here. This is the current situation on the ground, and these are our actions that we're going to take to protect U.S. citizens and our allies. And this is our plan. I have yet to hear a viable, coherent plan other than we're going to weld the gates shut and hope the Taliban don't come in en masse over the fence with the very weapons that were made in the U.S.
I want to ask a question. I know we're going to have not enough time here in the minute we have, but we can set this up for the other side. Is now, how do we fight terrorism? I mean, on the ground, how do we keep America and using the broad term, America's interests safe and secure at home and abroad?
Well, we're going to have to control our border, all right? And with our allies, we're going to have a, you know, a sit down, because our allies are not happy. You know, our enemies are happy. Our allies are wincing at us. And a lot of it is trust, is coordination. But when the U.S. Is in a position where we're not trustworthy, you know, that's a far-reaching problem. Because as you point out, America has always been the light on the hill. America has always been that country that, you know, I'll go back to John F. Kennedy, you know, that we'll be there. The fight for freedom is a national priority in one of American values in our Constitution.
Commander Ryan Zinke.
So, hang on, America. We're tough. We'll get through it.
Yeah, hang on, and we're back with more Voices here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Who's in charge? That's a good question. I play this cut every now and again from our president, who says now, all right, let's get down to business. Who do I turn this meeting over to? I think that tells you a little bit. Welcome back. It is From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana at 866-627-5483. Text us a message here, too, at 781-627-5483. Commander Ryan Zinke is with us here as we look back and look forward to Afghanistan. We're trying to withdraw our troops. Well, mostly now it's trying to withdraw our citizens and Afghans and other foreign nationals who may be at risk because this terrorist organization, the Taliban, who Senator Tom Cotton refers to just as goat herders, and a lot of folks will say that not really all that super organized, but now they have control of Afghanistan. And Commander, again, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Just to follow up more on, you know, fighting terrorism around the world, we've been able, and maybe it's just an opinion, but I think we've been able to kind of keep it away from our shores by concentrating it where it's at. Do you think that we'll see and have to respond to, and how will we respond to now this most likely increased terrorism threat?
Well, yeah, and Senator Cotton, who I like, I'm not sure I refer to the Taliban as goat herders, in that goat herders are not as well armed as the Taliban.
They're pretty armed now.
Yeah, and they are by our weapon systems, you know, billions of dollars. My understanding is that around $80 billion of military hardware is now in the hands, as well as, you know, no doubt millions of dollars, et cetera. But the Taliban is an ideology and a militaristic group that is dedicated to killing Americans and our allies. I don't think there's any dispute of that. I mean, those that have remember 9/11 and walked that ground, you know, that's the Taliban, and that's what we face in Kabul, and they have not changed. Terrorism, you know, unfortunate part about it is not ended. I think when America does show weakness and retreat, that encourages and motivates those terrorist groups that are dedicated to destroying freedom, to destroying our values, we're going to see an uptick. This goes back to the importance of making sure our borders are secure, the importance of knowing who's in this country, and it's not even a border down south. I mean, 210,000 people came across and were processed within a matter of hours. So they weren't screened for COVID. They weren't screened for backgrounds. They were just loaded on a bus, given a ticket, and they're somewhere in this country. That is a problem. And you can't be a nation without having a border. So both foreign and domestic policies have been a failure. And then we forget about, you know, just people trying to make ends meet. Inflation is a very cruel tax, especially those that don't have a lot of disposable income. When you're filling up your car, when you're trying to buy a piece of plywood or buy any product. We're in a tough spot. But look, we're a great nation, and Americans have been asked to sacrifice before, and we can pull out of this. I wouldn't run for Congress if I didn't think it was fixable. Look, we fixed energy in a matter of 2 years. We went from declining energy, being held hostage by foreign entities, being the world's largest exporter of energy. And it's not just oil and gas. It's across the board to make sure that the decisions on energy are our decisions. And we shouldn't be held hostage. And we fixed the park system. We all love, in Montana, we love our public lands. The largest investment in the history of this country happened. And everyone said we will never fix the infrastructure in our parks and forests. Can't be done. Well, what can be done? And we can, as Americans, if we work together as Americans, we can fix every one of these challenges. But we can't get there if it's just coming from one side of the aisle or not. And when we have a president and administration, who's in charge? Tell me your plan. We should demand a plan, and the American people should demand better.
It's just not a question
We do need to hold people accountable.
It's just not a question that I don't want to hear us asking ourselves about our administration. Who's in charge? Let me ask you this, because you had talked about, how we fix this and how we work together on this. We're seeing a lot of things that are dividing our country. Right now, it's not just politics, but we're looking at things that obviously it's almost all political. But the decisions regarding masking and these mandates and requirements, and there's a ton of things that are dividing our country. Often, when we see ourselves in that situation, struggles that's like this in Afghanistan can bring us together. How do you see, as part of fixing this, how do we work together? How do we get both sides of the aisle to have decisions that are going to benefit the America?
Well, I think we as American citizens should take a deep breath. Is that when our institutions no longer become trusted? Why? As soon as COVID became politicized, then the trust. And now our military was one of the last institutions that American people trusted. That's at risk. So trust is about making sure you have the right leadership, the right accountability, the right transparency, and you got to work as Americans together. We as a people, and this country could fail, but you also look at the core values. And it all comes back to the Constitution, that lovely document that is about limited government. So the government shouldn't decide for you on what you want to become, what you think. It should be about self-determination and protection of those individual freedoms. And that's what the Constitution protects. It's not the freedom of the mass or the mob. It's individual freedoms. And those freedoms have always been worth fighting for. And those freedoms from our allies, they have to know that we will protect those freedoms as well. So I think it's time to retrench in what has made America great and understand that we are a great nation, but also a nation that other countries aspire to be. So we have a greater responsibility.
What about...
Yeah.
What about nation building? There's some thought that it's ideological, obviously, but it has. We did a lot of it after World War II. A caller yesterday had noted, the nation building that we did in the Koreans, South Korea. They're very much now a viable democratic ally. Was this a failure of nation building, or was it a failure of discernment over which nations will actually sustain some nation building?
Well, in Afghanistan, I did agree up front about a withdrawal because you're over there for, you know, 2 decades. But it's how you withdraw. It should be always based on conditions, situation, and terrain, and not a timeline. You know, what is in our strategic interest? We have trading partners in Montana. You know, our farmers and ranchers, they rely on trade deals, so our products go out. We rely on relationships and coordination on trade. We rely, you know, as far as our national security goes, we don't want to see the rest of the world inundated with terrorism. We want to see a stable, prosperous, you know, country and our allies. So it is, you know, a larger picture. I'm not an isolationist, but you need to pick and choose where you're gonna spend your resources. Is there a return? And a lot of times in a country, you know, their people have to rise and see a vision of freedom and enterprise as well. I think today we look at an emerging China as certainly a threat for regional stability. We've seen what they've done in Hong Kong. No doubt they have their eyes on Taiwan. We see Russia continuing to build their resources and relationships. And we see Iran wanting to be Persia and export terrorism and their pursuit of a nuclear weapon. That's a change, by the way, courtesy of the Obama administration and supported by the Biden administration. So you have these, you know, world events and we're all connected. But the United States and America, we need to lead. And leadership is about making sure where we show strength and resolve. You don't cower from terrorists. We need to be vigilant. And we need a strong and capable military that isn't a yes man, that can articulate a plan and make sure that the political leaders clearly understand what's at stake and the risks. And again, from the Biden administration, I'm not seeing a leadership on any cabinet post that I've seen. And look, I've worked with President Trump, and you know, a lot of times I agree to them. You know, he endorses me for this campaign completely and totally because I get things done. And I've never really cared whether an individual American is a Republican or Democrat. What's always mattered to me is, do you love your country? Do you want to make it a more perfect union? Are you willing to work hard in order to obtain the American dream and help others along with you? I mean, and mission focused. Those are the values that have made America great. And I think America just needs to take a deep breath and fold back on the Constitution and the values that are worth fighting for, and we can.
All right, I'm going to take a deep breath. Navy SEAL Commander Ryan Zinke here. Solemn times, I understand that too, and I know you're a fighter and as a veteran. Thank you for your service there. It's very wearing, but it's Friday, and I want to ask, what are you doing for fun?
Well, tomorrow I am with my good friend Richard Hudson. He's a congressman from the great state of North Carolina. I was with over this last week from Jeff Duncan, one of the Freedom Caucus founders. And the same is talking to members, looking at how we're doing, and making sure we're focusing on leadership. Because America, I think, wants leadership. American citizens deserve leadership, and they deserve, when a government entity says something, you should have a degree of trust, and there isn't trust right now. So we have to restore trust, and that's making sure we have the right leadership in place, making sure that every issue is not viewed through a red lens or a blue lens. It should be a red, white, and blue lens.
Commander, I appreciate your thoughts and your time here today, too. And we'll stay in touch. All right. Good luck on the trail. And thank you again for your service. And, And whoever it is that you're talking to about it, I'm sure you're expressing, but give them, you know, a pat on the back from Voices of Montana, too. Let them know.
I will indeed. Yeah. And Montana, let's take a deep breath and pray for the troops and the citizens that are in harm's way.
Yes. Amen to that. Thanks, Ryan. We'll catch you down the road, okay?